Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization today says that rising global food demand will push up prices 10 to 40% over the coming decade, with the cost of meat rising faster and that of grains more slowly. The FAO says higher prices will have their biggest impact in developing countries, where some families spend up to 60% of their incomes on food. Annual production growth is forecast to slow to 1.5% compared with the past decade's 2.1%. China's imports of meat and oil seeds are forecast to grow, with imports of the oil seeds to rise by 40% over the next 10 years, which will account for 59% of all global trade in oil seeds. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report. This one for the week ending May the 30th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, minus 1.2. Next year, 24.4. Corn this year, 4.2. Next year, 2.0. Soybeans this year, 1.8. And next year, 21.7. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will continue to experience a wet weather-biased pattern for at least another week. We are expecting to see warmer temperatures coming into play next week, which will help to induce some quicker drying rates between rain events. Well, the first disturbance that's going to impact the region is probably going to have an impact mostly on the eastern Midwest here right away today. This system is not likely to be very significant, but there may be a few locations in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. You might see a locally strong thunderstorm, but for the most part, it's not a very well-organized event. We'll expect this system to pull out of Iowa as we go through the day today. So later today, when most of tomorrow, maybe even Saturday morning, Iowa will be left in a dry weather mode, and that'll be a good thing. It will help to perhaps firm up the soil a little bit and give them a chance to get into the fields a little bit more. As warmer temperatures evolve, we'll likely see a tendency for rain to develop along what will end up being a warm front. That warm front will initially produce rain from North Dakota into parts of Nebraska and western Iowa, and that will occur as we go from Friday night into Saturday. And as we go from Saturday into Sunday, the warm front will push rain across many areas from Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois, down into parts of Missouri, and perhaps eventually into Indiana. The frontal system will continue to work its way further to the east as we move into early next week. This frontal boundary will likely produce the last of the more generalized significant rain events for a little while. We will see rain totals running 0.5 to 1.5 inches in association with this, maybe even some locally greater amounts. Close watch on the system is still warranted, since it could still change somewhat. Once most of the Midwest is into the warmer air, our weather disturbances will take a little bit more of a northerly track as we go into the middle and latter parts of next week, influencing areas from the Dakotas into Michigan and parts of Indiana and Ohio, but allowing some of the southwestern parts of the region to start drying out. And we'll see afternoon temperatures in the Midwest more commonly in the 80s during that period of time, and that'll be more than sufficient enough to evaporate significant amounts of moisture from the region on a daily basis, whether it rains or whether it doesn't. And that's why I think that in the second week of the outlook, we'll have a fairly good chance for getting some areas to firm up a little bit better, and a better planting environment may occur. We will also see improvements in the winter wheat harvest in the soft wheat areas in the lower parts of the Midwest and the Northern Delta. U.S. hard red winter wheat harvesting in the southern parts of the plains will advance without much of a problem, although a few showers and thunderstorms will threaten the region as we go forward through this first week of the outlook. In the U.S. southeastern states and portions of the Delta itself, we'll likely see generally a good mix of rain and sunshine over this next 10 days to 2 weeks, maybe even a net drying biased pattern for a little while. Tropical storm Andrea will likely move across northern Florida today and then up the Atlantic coast as we go forward through the day on Friday and Saturday. The storm system will leave behind some moderate to locally heavy rainfall. We'll look for 2 to 6 inches across northern Florida and anywhere from 1 to 4 inches across the rest of the Atlantic seaboard. That storm system will not have much influence on the Midwest, however. And it does look like our second week of the two-week forecast will help to generate at least a little less frequency on precipitation, especially in the southwestern Corn Belt. I'm meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter wheat in July's contract is 745, up 1 3/4. The December at 770 and a half, up 2 3/4. The soft wheat in Chicago, the July 705, up 3 1/2. The December 727 and a quarter, up 4 1/2. July corn, 657 and a quarter, down 3 1/2. December, 545 3/4, up 3 1/2. July soybeans, 1531 1/2, down 1/2. November, 1302 1/2, up 2 1/2. July soybean meal, 456.60, up 70 cents. July soybean oil is unchanged on the day at 48.30. June live cattle, 120.40, up 15. August feeders, 144.57 1/2, down 2 1/2. June lean hogs are 97.10. They're up 45. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden. She is with AgriView in Moorton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Kind of a slow, lackluster trading day thus far.
Thus far, looks like the main feature is taking off the bull spreads that we saw in both the corn and the beans over the last couple of sessions. We've got some pressure on the July corn and a little bit of pressure on the July beans.
I think I would take it off, too, if I knew the Goldman roll was coming on Friday.
Well, I think everybody's been talking about that, and certainly they can't do the entire roll in just one day, but it'll be interesting to see whether they go to the August beans or go right out to the November beans.
Well, what about planning? Any planning getting done in Illinois?
Oh, there is to the eastern part of the state. Here in the west, from the Illinois River and west, there's very little that's been done this week. A little trace precipitation overnight has people stalled, but really nothing has been planted right in the Peoria area, I would say, for almost 3 weeks.
Export came out this morning. The exports, the only thing that kind of is clever to say is that old crop corn had more exports than new crop corn, but we're talking about 6.2 million bushels, so not
a
lot.
I would say that's a huge disappointment.
Yes, it is.
We ought to be looking at some of these new crop corn sales, and they're just not coming by. I think it's part of it is, Dave, that this Brazilian corn crop is larger than what people thought earlier, particularly the double crop corn was a large crop.
And Ukraine has cheap crop, cheap corn as well. So.
Absolutely. And now all of a sudden they're starting to get a little bit of moisture, too. So we'll see better planning ideas, a better potential new crop.
And you know what this brings up? I mean, we have a WASDE report coming out on next Tuesday along with crop production, but the WASDE report still kind of the one that's at the forefront at the moment. Those new crop exports coming back, I don't know that they may do come back. I mean, seems like the world has done very well, thank you very much, without our corn the last year.
You know, we became a residual supplier of wheat in the 90s, and I think we are now a residual supplier of corn as well. The South American suppliers and also South Africa aren't going to be giving up those positions very readily.
Turn your attention to soybeans.
Soybeans, poor protein levels in Argentine beans could support the meal here, particularly for summer delivery. That's probably the best we can say about the beans for today. We probably will continue to see a two-sided trade in the beans.
Does it look to you that old crop beans and meal may have done all they can do to the upside for now?
I think the old crop meal may still have a little more upside up close to this 480 level in the July. The other thing I noticed on the beans, Dave, was on the rather substantial new crop export bookings, about three-quarters of that went to China, so that was pretty well already into the market.
Thank you very much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgReview, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, July wheat in Chicago, 704 and three-quarters, up 3 1/4. July corn is 656, and it's down 4 3/4. December, 545 1/4, up 3. July soybeans, 1529 1/2, down 2 1/2. November, $13, now flat, unchanged on the day, now down 1/2. July soybean meal, 456.20, up 30. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.